Okay. Do you like to have fun?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, I think all of us like to have fun. Well, what do you do to have fun? Where do you go to have fun? When you have fun, does it sharpen your attention and does it lift your spirits and does it make you feel really good? Now, perhaps one place that kind of encompasses a place where people go to have fun would be an amusement park. How many of you like to go to amusement parks? Okay, we have a few hands. I like it. It's okay. Some years ago, when our oldest boys were teenagers, my parents took us for a few years to Knoebels, and we enjoyed ourselves. We really did. Now, how about roller coasters? How many of you like roller coasters? I see heads shaking no. Okay, a few. Okay. I like roller coasters. I'm not the kind of guy who rides a roller coaster and tries to stand up, you know, and do one of these things. I'm more a hands-on, a roller coaster type of guy. So where do you go for fun? The title of the message tonight is The Felicity of Fellowship. The Felicity of Fellowship. How many of you know what felicity means? It's not a word we use too often anymore. I mean, quite a few years ago they used it, but okay, felicity means happiness. It means joyfulness. It means delight. It means contentedness. It means satisfaction, pleasure, fulfillment. The felicity of fellowship. Fellowship? We understand what fellowship is. Let me just give you some related terms. Companionship, camaraderie, friendship, having mutual respect and support, being together, and even the idea of intimacy. So, the felicity of fellowship. Go ahead and in your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's where the Lord led me this week, and as it turns out that the thought that we're going to look at tonight is kind of a corollary to what David brought to us last week. It's kind of a sequel to it. It's related in theme, but really different in emphasis and application. Last week, David told us about gathering together, having a feast, gathering together for worship, a feast of truth and love, and we ought to want to be here. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're going to look at one sentence tonight. Just one sentence. It's in three different verses, though. Look at chapter 1 and verse 2. Chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Now there's a similar passage. Keep your finger here and turn back to Colossians chapter 1. And we can see how the Apostle Paul wrote something similar to the Colossian church. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Jump down to verse 8. Who, speaking of Epaphras, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So go ahead and jump back now to 1 Thessalonians. You see there's similar thought here. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about giving thanks, and the giving thanks is for you. He talks about praying. The praying is for you. He talks about remembering your work of faith. In Colossians, it says about heard of your faith in Christ. He talks about remembering your labor of love. In Colossians, heard of your love for the saints. And in 1 Thessalonians, remembering your patience of hope. In Colossians, heard of your hope for that which is laid up in heaven. So both passages have the same order that Paul goes through here. He talks about faith, then he talks about love, then he talks about hope. Now, again, when we look at the scriptures and God says something, we ought to take notice to it. And when he repeats something, we ought to really take notice to it. So let's really take notice to something Paul is writing here for us that God has for us tonight. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it starts out in verse 2, and I want you to see that he says, we give thanks. Right there is the main verb of this sentence. That's the action, giving thanks. And then there are two participles that follow here. A participle is a verb kind of used like an adjective to describe something. And so the two participles are, in verse 3, remembering, and in verse 4, knowing. And so again, those words tell us the why of giving thanks. Now, we're going to come back to the main verb of giving thanks later, but let's start out with the two participles so we understand the why of giving thanks. So what is the why? Remembering. First of all, remembering. We give thanks to God for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering. So the first thing we ought to recognize here tonight is that in order to give thanks, we have to remember. You must be remembering something. How forgetful are you? Carrie, how forgetful are you? Okay, post-it notes, yes. When I'm working on a project at home, we have our home, and then across the ways just a little bit is our garage. And I end up walking between the house and the garage all the time because I'm forgetting, oh, I should have got that tool. Oh, I should have picked this up. And it used to bother me, but it doesn't bother me anymore because, well, I'm retired. I don't have to worry about the time. Right, Janet? And I also get a little bit more exercise, so it works out fine. But we're supposed to remember what triggers your memory. How about a photograph? Does a photograph trigger your memory? How about your spouse? Does your spouse trigger your memory for you? How about a journal? Do you keep a journal? Does that trigger your memory? My devotional time triggers my memory because some years ago, I started recording my thoughts. I do it on the computer. I don't handwrite it. But it triggers my memory because I see it. It's written down. I get to write down what God shows me in the Bible. And you can make it personal so that you remember. So what does it say here about remembering? In verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God, and then he says, remembering without ceasing. So remembering is a continuous activity. It's something that you do all the time. It's something like prayer. It's something like talking to God. Later on in this letter, in chapter 5, Paul tells the believers in Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. So remembering, he says here, remembering without ceasing. It's a continuous activity. It should be second nature. It should be automatic. A good example, perhaps, from Scripture is that Christ is always with you. The Holy Spirit always indwells you. You and I are constantly in the presence of God. You are constantly in a position to be conversing with God. When you're working at a task or something, you can say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, or I do know how to do this, but I need your help. Give me wisdom to make the right choice. Give me the words to say, if you're in a conversation, whatever. So, in order to give thanks, you must be remembering without ceasing. Again, a continuous activity of bringing to mind the blessings of God. Well, what kind of blessings of God? What does the Scripture say? It says, we give thanks to God always for what? For you all. For you all. Look at verse 3 now. Remembering without ceasing. I want you to see something here. Remembering without ceasing your work and your labor and your patience. Another way you could look at this is saying, remembering without ceasing your faith and your love and your hope. But I ask you this question. What can you see and what can you not see? Can you see faith? Can you see love? Can you see hope? Can you see work? Can you see labor? Can you see patience? I think so. The first ones, the words that we can see are work and labor and patience. Work is something that I can observe in you. You can see in me. A work of faith. In other words, it's work that comes from faith in Christ. It's work that is a product of faith in Christ. With my eyes, I can see you. I can see, oh, that brother, that sister, they are working for Christ. That is a product of their faith in Him. How about labor? You have a labor of love. Labor that comes from love for Christ. It's a product. It's a result of having love for Christ. How about patience of hope? It's a patience that comes from hope in Christ. It's a product. It's a result of hope in Christ. Well, let's look now at the first one, which is work of faith. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. So work is the effect of faith. Faith is the cause of work. So living faith in Christ results in work for Christ. When I see someone being active for the sake of Christ, I know that there's life there. There's activity. There's motion. It's totally unlike a dead possum you see along the road. No activity, no motion. Are you active? Are you moving? Are you doing what Christ says? Are you active in doing what He wants you to do? And not merely out of duty, but because you trust Christ with everything. You're working because you know, you trust, you believe, you have faith that what Christ wants you to do is good. So a work, again, it's the cause here of the work is faith in Christ. Do you trust Christ with everything? At a recent Remember and Declare gathering that we had, we talked about how the Lord led us and different events in our life that God used to bring us to where we are. And one of the things that I brought out was that a number of years ago, I had heart surgery. And you know, many people get heart surgery. But it was a big deal for me because it was happening to me, okay? I knew that the only way out of the hospital was through the operating room. There was no other door to go through. Had to go through the operating room. And one thing that I thought about as far as going through heart surgery is, you know what? They're going to put me on a heart-lung machine. I'm going to be living on a machine. And so that's kind of a different thought, isn't it? So do you trust Christ with everything? There's a lot of things that happen in life. Do you trust Christ with everything? Faith in Christ is the cause. Work for Christ is the effect that you can see. True faith comes first. Work is the evidence of that faith. So again, the question is, brothers and sisters, are you working for Christ? Are you doing what He wants you to do? Now, this is not something where I am observing you and trying to make a determination about your faith. But this is something where you can look at your own life. Are you working for Christ? If you're not working for Christ, then maybe you're not trusting Christ with everything. If that's the case, what is it for you? What are you not trusting Christ that's hindering your work? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your spouse? When you begin to trust Christ with everything, then you will work for Christ doing whatever He wants. Let's look at labor of love. Remembering without ceasing your labor of love. So again, labor is the effect of love. Love is the cause. Love for Christ is the cause of labor. So genuine love for Christ results in labor for Christ. So you might look at this and say, okay, we talked about work and now we're talking about labor. What's the difference between work and labor? Work is doing something. And the lights are off and on. Okay. Work is doing something. Work is activity. Work is motion. Labor is giving it your all. Work is getting out of the chair. Labor is running. Work is overcoming inertia. Getting moving. Labor, friends, is keeping moving when there's obstacles and when there's troubles. So love for Christ is the cause and labor for Christ is the effect that you can see. Now, when you see in your life that even when there are obstacles, you press on, you continue, you can then know that is evidence of love for Christ in your life. How is your love for Christ tonight? Is Christ number one in your life? Are all other things of this life subject to your love for Christ? you and I can measure our love for Christ by our labor for Christ. Do you press on doing right in obedience to Christ when there are trials, when there are obstacles, when there's opposition? Now, you might say, well, you know, there's so much I cannot do for Christ because of my health, or my age, or my lack of money, or my family circumstances, and it can go on. But look at the example of Paul. In verse 2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Now, was Paul ever hindered? Did Paul ever have trials or obstacles or opposition? Did Paul have good health? Was Paul a young man with natural, abundant energy? Did Paul have all the money that he would have desired to be a blessing to others? And yet Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Pray without ceasing." Paul was not a hypocrite. He actually did pray all the time. He labored for Christ. He went above and beyond, and he pressed on, and he kept going even in the trials of life that he had. In Philippians chapter 3, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So labor is the effect of having love for Christ. And when you see genuine labor for Christ, you know that there is genuine love for Christ. Love for Christ is the cause. Labor for Christ is the effect. How about patience of hope? Verse 3, "Remembering without ceasing your patience of hope." Here again, patience is the effect of hope. So trusting hope in Christ. When you have trusting hope in Christ, it results in patience in Christ. First of all, well, what is hope in Christ? Keep here in 1 Thessalonians, but let's just turn quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Question is, what is hope in Christ? 1 Timothy 1:1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Now, the original language word here for hope is the same word as in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. And it means to look forward with confidence to something that's good, it's beneficial, it's desirable. You're looking forward with confidence. So, what are you looking forward to? We're looking forward to our completed salvation. We're looking forward to our inheritance. We're looking forward to heaven. We're looking forward to, it seems like, all these future things. We have hope. But look at 1 Timothy 1:1 again. What does it really say? It says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. And literally, it's saying the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. So all our hope is in Christ Himself. It's not just in the things that Christ is going to give you. And the result that you can see in your life then, when you have hope in Christ, when you have a trusting hope in Christ, not just the things that He's going to give us, when you have a trusting hope in Christ in your life, you're going to see patience. Okay, what is patience? Patience is being steadfast. It's having endurance. It's fortitude. I like that word because it's it's not related in any way, but it has that little word fort in it. And you can picture a fort, something that's strong and enduring. Fortitude, having a steady mind, especially in a trial. And when you're enduring pain or adversity, or even maybe danger, patience. Now, isn't it true that most of us here have experienced all of these things in our lives at one time or another? And when you are trusting in Christ, you're having hope in Christ, you're able to patiently endure through every trial, through every pain, through every adversity, and even through times of danger. So how is your hope in Christ tonight? Do you have hope in Christ? Can you tell if you have hope in Christ? How do you know? Look at your patience. Are you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Do you see endurance in your life when there are obstacles? There's always obstacles. Do you have a steady mind when you're in the midst of a trial? You will if you have hope in Christ. And remember, the hope is not just in the future things that Christ is going to give us, but we have our hope in Christ Himself. Trusting hope in Christ is the cause that results in patience in Christ. That's the effect of having trusting hope in Christ. So what do you see in your life? So we looked at the first participle, remembering. That word that helps to describe the main action, the main verb in this sentence, which is giving thanks. Now let's just look very briefly at the second participle, knowing. In verse 2 it says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." Verse 4, "knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Now how is it that Paul knew these brothers and sisters were the elect of God? And we're going to take this that he's saying, you are real believers. You're the genuine thing. How is it that Paul knew these brothers and sisters were the elect of God? It's because he could see the effect in their lives of living faith in Christ. He could see the effect of in their lives of genuine love for Christ. He could see the effect in their lives of trusting hope in Christ. In other words, he saw their work. He saw their labor. He saw their patience. Knowing here means to see, to perceive with the eyes, to use your senses to understand something. Now, do you see? Do you perceive with your own eyes these kinds of evidences in your own life of being a believer in Christ Jesus? Do you see work for Christ? In other words, you're overcoming inertia. You're moving because you have living faith in Christ. You have a faith that's growing, so you get to work. You start moving. Do you see in your life labor for Christ? A giving it your all because you have a genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see in your life patience in Christ, a steadfast endurance in every trial, in every obstacle, because you have a trusting hope in Christ? When you see these things in your life, it gives you great assurance and confidence in your salvation. So let's go back now to the main verb, giving thanks. We saw how remembering describes the giving thanks and how knowing describes the giving thanks. In verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. What moves you to give thanks? What moves you to be thankful? What moves you to be thankful to God? And usually it's something good, isn't it? Something good has happened. Now we know that at the end of 1 Thessalonians again, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But what does God say here again in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2? He says, we give thanks to God always for you all. Right there is the whole object of giving thanks for you all. So it really comes down to this. The main action here is giving thanks. The object is for you all. Are you thankful for each other? Are you moved by felicity to be thankful for each other? Remember what felicity is. It's being happy. It's joyfulness. It's delight. It's contentedness. It's satisfaction. It's pleasure. It's fulfillment. In other words, are you happy to be here? Are you happy to have fellowship with one another? Does being together bring you joy? Are you delighted to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is there a contentedness in your soul because you are with those who love the Lord? Are you full of satisfaction being here rather than being somewhere else? Do you find pleasure being together? Are you fulfilled by fellowshipping with one another? Can you imagine what your life would be like if Christ had not created the church? Can you think of what life would be like if Christ had not created the church? If you had to go it alone. Look at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. The work of faith, the labor of love for Christ, the patience of hope in Christ is all in the sight of God our Father. He sees it. Do you see these things in your life? If not, then something's missing, is it not? What do you do? Very simple truth in Scripture is that if you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. When you desire to get serious with God, He will enable you to grow, to mature in Christ. That work, He will enable you to get moving, to overcome the inertia. That labor, He will enable you to press through trials and difficulties. And that patience, He will enable you to endure. Now, one thing that I see here in this sentence is that it almost seems like a circle of growth. I couldn't think of a better example, we'll just say a circle of growth. If you have living faith in Christ that works, it leads to genuine love for Christ that labors, that leads to trusting hope in Christ that is steadfast and enduring, and that increases living faith in Christ that works. And it increases genuine love for Christ that labors, and it increases trusting hope in Christ that's steadfast and enduring. And suddenly you have this circle that just gets moving and moving and growing and growing. Now, what you and I need to do is make sure we jump in somewhere in that circle. You know, it really doesn't matter where you jump in that circle. It doesn't matter whether you jump in the genuine love for Christ or you jump in the trusting hope. It doesn't matter. But once you jump in and you get moving, then you're really going to grow. You're really going to mature. Let's look at this sentence again. Verse 2. And I want you to think of Faith Bible Church as we read this. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. The action here is to give thanks. For what? For each other. The felicity of fellowship. You know, don't take for granted this wonderful gift of Christ, of the church, of Christian fellowship. Don't take it for granted. We're going to end tonight with where we began. And that's this question. Do you like to have fun? Hey, I'll tell you. When we look correctly at the gift that God has given us of fellowship, Christian fellowship in the church of God, what could be more fun? What could be more satisfying? What could bring more contentedness than us being together? This motley crew of individuals that God has brought together, all these different members into one body. That is something that we can give thanks for. The felicity of fellowship. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you that we could look at this one little sentence and see so much of your love for us. God, you gave us the church. You gave us each other. You put us together. And you've blessed us. And Lord, help us to give thanks. Help us to be remembering. Help us to know, be knowing, as we looked at tonight. God, thank you. And Lord, as each one of us individually needs to look at these things in our own lives, we thank you that we can jump in at any point on that circle. We can jump in, we can get involved, we can start loving you. And Lord, that'll give us the cause, the foundation for laboring for you, for pressing through obstacles, just keeping on, and so forth. Lord, we thank you for your power in us. And Lord, we ask you now to bless us. And give us exactly what we need tonight. In Christ's name, amen.